Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched two things this week. We started off with the new Diablo Cody film, Lisa Frankenstein, and then we watched the fifth episode of True Detective Night Country, a major, massive spoiler alert for both of them, as well as a content warning because some sensitive subjects do come up in the discussion surrounding both. And now without further ado, here's We're Watching What? Okay, we started things off with Lisa Frankenstein, and I am going to guess, and this always bites me in the butt when I guess, I'm going to guess you did like it.
Yeah, I really loved it. I have, like, no notes. I came out of that, and I was
sorry,
like, you know what?
No notes?
Well, for what it is, right? Like, going into this movie, just, I went into this just like, you know, I hope this will just be a fun little quirky Diablo Cody style, like, coming of age story that's just going to be gothy and fun and, like, colorful and, you know, and it was everything. It was all those things. And I was like, that's what I needed from this movie. And it delivered it in spades, I thought.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. How'd you feel?
I liked it. I did think it was uneven. I thought, I've never seen him act before, but I thought Cole Sprouse did such a good job, like, pantomiming and doing all the, you know, as the creature in it. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to, like, be able to emote without, you know, speaking. Uh-huh. And I was like, this is what, he's good at this. All right. Like, you know.
Yeah, because he was portraying humor and stuff, you know, without saying a thing.
Well, and like longing and like, you know, there was like physical comedy to it. And I was like, okay, just get
out. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I have not seen him or his brother, like, since they were children as actors, to be honest. Uh-huh. Because obviously they're David Schwimmer's son and friends, you know. And then
wait, what?
The Sprouse brothers, like, they play Ben in Friends. David Schwimmer's
son. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then they're the kids in Big Daddy.
Oh, I didn't know. That
so like
either.
He's a child. They were child. They're twins, and they were child actors.
Oh.
And then I don't, but I haven't seen them. I know they're both doing stuff as adults now. And then they did The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. I know that was the thing. I never watched it. I was too old for it, I think. But But I know that they do adult. Now that they're adults, they do things. But I don't think I've seen anything. So I was like, okay.
I literally didn't search back that far on his IMDb because I just like was like, oh, okay, The Suite Life. And then I don't watch Riverdale. So.
Yeah, and I don't either, actually.
Huh? I did not know that they were the... Okay, well...
Yeah, I was like, you've seen Big Daddy.
Not that those are like... Yes, of course. Yeah. Not that those are like heavy-hitting acting movies, though. Like, let's be honest.
So again, he's like a six-year-old. So it's like how, you know, it's different. Yeah. You know, so I agree where I was like, I don't really know what to expect from this guy. But
yeah,
I thought he did well.
Yeah.
I thought Catherine was great. I thought, like, it was just like... There were some jokes that didn't land totally, of course. But I thought it felt very... It was just fun. Like, it was one of those movies. I came out of it very, like, you know, I have certain movies that I can put on rotation, those being things like Mean Girls and Clueless and that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying I think this was as good as I think those movies are, but I could see easily adding this into that rotation.
As it's a vibe. Just like, it's definitely
it'll be
like
fun
a vibe
to revisit.
I was
just thinking of all the costumes you can do from it. I was just loving the style of it all. I was like, this is just so fun, you know?
Yes, I'm sad Jackie couldn't join us this week, but we'll have to get her quick take on it next time because I was like,
when I
came out of seeing it, I was like, Jackie, this is a Jackie. I mean, like, I also thought of you, but I was like, this, because she loves her, you know, romance, et cetera. And I was just like, yeah, this is a Jackie movie, you know? So I hope she liked it.
Yeah, she did. From what I know, she did. But she can go into it. But I think, she was into it.
I can't remember if I spoiled this for you before we watched it. Did you realize it was Zelda Williams who directed?
You didn't spoil that for me, but I did know that.
Okay.
And it was
like
her directorial, like,
yeah,
I thought she did a good job. Like, I thought, I could agree with you when you say like parts felt uneven and stuff, but overall it didn't feel to me like it was like a director's very first time they did anything
or a feature.
It felt like lived in. And I was like, it was a fully realized vision.
Yeah.
I felt like everything was cohesive and stuff in that way where I was like, okay. And so hats off to her.
Yeah,
you know, I
think they were a good pairing. You know, again, I do think I think it's interesting to watch like the reviews of it because it's got like 50% from critics. But I'm like, I get the sense that once this hits streaming, this will have like a not quite a Jennifer's Body level effect. But I think this will find an audience in teenagers who eventually see it on some streaming platform and become obsessed and, you know, whatever it is. So I think it has like longer legs outside of the immediate release window. And I'm interested to see the longevity of a film like this. I mean, obviously, like, the story of Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster and the Bride of Frankenstein
timeless,
is like,
right.
Yeah. So, but like the Heather's angle and the, you know, it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And I see it kind of grabbing the Wednesday audience, right? Like that kind of thing.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it being something where with how much that took off, I could see that happening and I could see it being a bit of a, like, for lack of a better term, like a cult classic, you know?
Yeah.
I can see in 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. Them showing this at Cinespia at the cemetery, like being like, "Oh, it's Elisa Frankenstein," you know, for Halloween time or whatever. Like, I could see that happening, and I'm totally happy about it. Like, I'm like, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
we're gonna take a quick break and be right back, and we're back.
And I'm happy for Diablo because, you know, I think we all like Diablo, right? But I'm kind of hit or miss there sometimes. I actually really liked Young Adult, but totally.
I thought Young Adult was so good.
Yeah, I really liked Young Adult. Yeah, but totally. I had a harder time with. And then, you know, of course, Juno.
Oh, I did see Tully. And then, you know. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Tully, I remember that was a little more like, it was dark humor still, but a little more serious for Diablo, I felt.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I didn't dislike the movie, but I could barely tell you what it was about at this point. Like, I just
had to look it up. I was like, is that the one with the, it's the Night Nanny one.
Yes, yeah. And I remember looking forward to it because, you know, Diablo had made the name for herself is just kind of like, okay, this is going to be fun. You know, you go to
right,
these things
yeah.
and they're funny and they're written in a quirky way that's very unique to her. And that one I felt was a little kind of like, I don't know. But this to me fit right in. And I was like, oh, welcome back.
Well, I think Young Adult was just like such an underrated, brilliantly. I remember not expecting anything of Young Adult. And I think I like bawled like a child, like at one point during it. I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, because it has heart, it's heartfelt and stuff. And that's what she had with Juno.
She's
Juno
was clearly
heartfelt.
Grappling with things in Young Adult.
Like, yes. And that's what's great though, is like, I feel like she seems, I know this was the thing with Tully too, because I know she was like newer motherhood and all this stuff, but she talked about that. But I think that that's one of the great things about her is that like she doesn't write just anything, and she writes things that are they feel like they're very personal to her.
Yeah.
And this even, I'm like, I hope this was just like literally teenage goth girl Diablo. Like, and this is just her like living out that fantasy, you know, like,
and I hope she actually,
hope, you know,
murdered someone in order to. Yeah.
I just loved, and I loved how unapologetic it was about all that stuff. Like, it was just like,
oh my
god,
it was a little much for me, just in terms of like the visual. Yeah.
Yeah. It went there, right? And it's like, but I loved that it stayed true to like, this is a horror comedy. And this is just going to be like, it didn't go so crazy to where it was like trying to terrify everyone left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But it had the gross out stuff, kind of Beetlejuice-esque in ways and stuff, like that vibe I was getting. And I'm okay with that. I don't love gross out stuff, but I can deal with it. But it just like, it was wild, like out there and what's going on. Yeah. And like, it wasn't afraid to let its like protagonists be people. Like, it's like allowing us to root for these people who are actually doing terrible things.
Horrible
things. But you're kind of like rooting for them still in a weird way. And then it had to be careful because, you know, like we're going to a point where, spoiler alert for anybody, right? But we're getting into a point where we're essentially watching this girl commit suicide, you know, and kind of having to be okay with it and like kind of be like, oh, I totally get it. Obviously, it's under the understanding that like I'm doing this to be with you forever and I'm going to live because they've found a way to live in death.
Right. Yeah. This suspension
it
of
still
disbelief.
Is
it's a universe in which like there is a life after death. But, you know,
and particularly for a teenager, that's a touchy subject. And so the fact that they were able to do it and tackle it with a certain level of humor and kind of still some humanity behind it, even though these people are murderers, I don't know. It just worked in a way that I was like, this is dangerous on paper.
Yeah.
you're playing with fire here, quite literally.
Yeah. Yes.
Electricity.
Yeah.
So hats off to that, because I thought it was handled well.
Agreed. And I think the thing is, like, the world felt stylized but realistic enough. Like, there were some of the, you know, the decorations, like, shout out to the art directors, because like the you know, the china cabinets full of whatever, I was just like, oh, this is so perfect. And thinking about something like Juno, where I was like, yes, this is like such a moment in time, but it was also such a hyperbolic like representation of that time. I think, you know, the teams that she works with and like anyone who collaborates with her does it ridiculously well. Because that movie for me was such a just moment. I remember watching Juno.
Oh, it was.
On a plane, like rewatching Juno on a plane going to, I want to say England or something. So it was like a long flight and it was, there was nobody in the middle. And then it was this guy who he like pulled out a copy of the Bible. I'm not even kidding. And was like highlighting it and you know, like making notes and like all this stuff. I assume he had some, you know, affiliation with, he was like a pastor or something like that.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, I'm like watching Juno over here and I'm like, it's about teenage pregnancy. Don't look over. Not that like anything untoward happens, but you know, I just felt like the dichotomy of it was just very funny to me. Also, I was like, what is this man doing highlighting the Bible?
Yeah. that's a very interesting.
It was a very bizarre. Very
but
bizarre.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you with Juno, because it's like Juno on paper to me is really like nothing remarkable. It's just, it's like, it's a fine story, but she writes it and then they make the world such a lived in world and it feels so real,
yeah,
but still so kind of like other, mm-hmm, in the way where it's like people don't really talk like this all the time, but it just works so well and it's believable. That's like the magic of, like you're saying, the people who collaborate, but that Diablo is like capable of.
Yeah.
And that is like, when, because I loved, you know, when I say it's nothing spectacular on paper, I say that the most loving way I can, in that, right, I think it's incredible. But like when you just read, oh, this is what that's going to be about, you don't.
Yeah, yeah. The log line of these movies is like, yeah, okay, that's interesting or fine.
Yeah, but she brings her flavor to it and just kind of like makes it something like spectacular. And like, you know, so I, you know, I don't think this was her best film she's ever written or anything. But yeah, I thought it understood what it needed to do and I thought it did it.
I think it also understood like the specific audience it was going, like you hit the nail on the head when you said the Wednesday audience, because I was trying to think, I was like, oh, you know, anyone who had like an emo phase in high school, mm-hmm, definitely will love this movie. But I was like, oh, it's the people who are entering their emo phases and are going to be able to use this as an expression. That's who it really, you know, it's both groups,
though, in a brilliant way. Right, it's right, both of those, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, we talked a lot about, of course, like we all obsess over Turning Red, right? But it's almost kind of like how that was like nailing this whole like very specific time of like, if you were particularly a teenage girl, but a teenager who loved boy bands and was like alive, and that was just going to speak to you on a level. But then it's also just an incredibly wonderfully made movie that is heartfelt and entertaining and like anyone should be able to find enjoyment.
Yeah.
But I have to think also, people of that age right now, you still have that level of obsession for different things. It may not be Backstreet Boys right now or New Kids on the Block or whatever, but it's something else. And you still find ways to relate to, mm-hmm, those characters. And I feel like this is a similar kind of thing for the goth kid, you know?
Right. Yeah.
The emo goth, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just so fun.
No, I enjoy it. I'm kind of sad to see that it's not being received as well as it could, but I have faith it'll find its audience.
Yeah, I think it will too. I think you're right, and I'm excited for that to happen, because I can already picture all the Halloween costumes and stuff, and I was like, just, I love it, you know.
Yeah,
it's such a good time, and I just, you know, costume design and set design, like, you know.
Those people, they nailed it.
Give them awards.
All right. Well, moving on to True Detective: Night Country. I am delighted with this. I mean, I'm not delighted, but I, you know, we had our reservations. I, in particular, had our reservations about, like, where are we going to go? We only had two episodes left, and now we only have one episode left. I was like, oh, okay, we have figured, you know, we have hit the balance of the supernatural and the, like, crime, and we've woven it together in a way that I'm like, yes, this works for me. I assume you got to watch it before I did, because I didn't realize it was out early, so thank you for letting me know about that. But tell me all the – how are you feeling?
I thought this, I mean, you know, we've been loving the whole thing. I thought this was easily the best so far. I just thought this was, I loved it. And I just, my jaw hit the floor a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're giving spoilers, but when a certain person gets shot in the head,
I screamed.
My jaw,
yes.
I did too. And I had to like pick it up off the floor, because I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, I was just like, oh!
When he was like singing his little song to him, which I loved his voice too, and I was like, I hope I can get this song. but I was like, I had a weird feeling. I was like, uh-oh, something's going to happen to this guy now. Because it's like, you know, his story has kind of come to a point where, okay, now he's a bad, you know, yeah. And we knew he didn't like him, but
yeah,
he bad,
but he real bad.
But he real bad. And it was like, okay, but that was a moment where I was like, I did not see that happening in that way. And I thought it was crazy. And that kid is great. Everyone just continues to be great.
Yeah.
And just watching the emotional, like continued emotional fallout of kind of like having lost her sister, but like she's holding it together, but like, you know, in a very specific way, but she's still dedicated and stuff, but she's just, I can't say enough about how wonderful I think all the moving pieces are of this thing. I think it's great. And I really hope it lands the plane. I think it will. And this makes me think
so too.
It will, but I'm at that point where I'm afraid that something crazy will just make it undo it, you know, you know, so I'm nervous for it, but it's the beauty of having the episodic weekly, week after week television. I love this though, because it's like you get to live in it, and like I'm this whole week now, I'm just kind of like I'm anticipating, excited, but also a little bit nervous, and so the payoff when it's great will be even better.
Yeah.
Than if you were just binging the whole thing, you know. But yeah, I think easily the best since season one, and there I may like it better in a lot of ways than even I liked season one, and I love season one, but I just this is. Something about this one, just the whole, I like the supernatural elements and the way they're being handled very classy, like, I guess you'd say they're not going to be pokey. But there's something about the tone. It is leaning into the horror, but it's like not cheap horror. And it's
it's definitely not. It's just
dread. It's elevated, dreadful, just kind of tone, masterpiece of tone, like in just atmosphere. And I really don't want it to end, but I think it knows its length and I'm very happy that it knows that.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we've talked about our concerns about, like, you know, self-awareness and stuff like that. And as sad as it is this season, like, the female-centric season is shorter. They clearly knew the story they were going to tell. They knew they only needed to do it in this many episodes. And so I appreciate them, like, wrapping it up and being like, okay, here's the reveal. Here we go. Like, now what's going to happen in the last one? I also appreciated that they finally addressed, like, you know, the time compression where they're like, it's now New Year's Eve or whatever. So I was like, okay. Yeah. Somebody has to have slept at least once. This poor kid has to have slept like at least a few hours. Because, my God.
Yeah.
I can't.
He has to. No, I know. It was good that they did that. Because, you need some level.
I was losing. I was like, no, there's no way.
Well, especially because they wear their uniforms every day.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not even like, oh, yeah, they're in a different change of clothes. It's like, no, they're in uniforms. You know, so yeah. It's like, that's all we're seeing.
Yeah.
You know, we know Fiona Shaw has changed clothes, but we don't.
Yes.
And everyone else, we really
don't
know.
She's had several outfit changes. Yeah. She's had several styles.
But she could just be that person who just changes outfits throughout the day, you know? So who knows?
True.
So,
I really liked all the things they revealed, you know, like we always knew the mining company was bad because, of course, it's bad. Yeah. But then, like, you know, seeing the extent of it and, again, we'll see how it resolves with the whatever they're working on, like, feels like a little bit of a red herring now. You know, like, I thought it was going to be they're working on some sort of, you know, Prometheus-esque thing. But now it's like, oh, no, they're just hiding, what's it called, like, results on behalf of this mining company.
Right.
It's a much more pedestrian, like, crime and, like, existence.
Yeah. Well, and learning that, like, he moved the body. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like of what's her face. And it's just like, that's. I loved learning that, but it was also just kind of like,
it was so abrupt, but it was also like,
I don't know if I still understand the full why of all of it.
Like, no, like I think we were going to get that in the next episode. Yeah. I think it's to show that like the police are very much in the pocket of whoever, this mining company. But I did a lot of, I didn't watch it. We were talking about before we started recording, like, you know, Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year, whatever Chinese for me, happened this last weekend. And because of the Super Bowl, they dropped this episode early, but you have to be like, you can't talk about death. And like, you know, there's a lot of superstitions on China. So I had to wait until Sunday morning to watch it because I knew, I was like, there's no way that good things happen in this episode. Yeah. And I cannot, like, I don't want to bring that juju into, but so first thing Sunday morning, I was like, boop, what a treat.
Yeah, no, 100%, you had to. And the one before it, doing it nighttime was not a good idea, right? So
no,
it's good to do morning.
Yeah, so I was like,
I cry at a lot of things, but I don't know that I've cried in this show a lot, but I cried in this episode. This one got me. It was, part of it was the the boy, you know,
shooting. Oh, yeah.
Part of it was that, and like his reaction, and then like the having to stay there and clean it up and all the things. And like, there's, but I love, we talked about this last time, and we've talked about the whole time, I think, but I've just loved watching the evolution of their relationship, like Jody and
why Callie Reese.
Callie Reese. She deserves to have her name remembered by me, and I just keep forgetting it. But the progression of like seeing them, and it's so masterfully done, if you ask me, just so subtle and everything, the way it's like Jody, like she's not a very likable character, but in this, but it's like you, but I feel like I get her though in this weird way, and the way she's like, she does care, and you can tell she really does care, and like is sensitive about this certain things, but like just doesn't want to show it. And I've just loved watching the progression of that and them together. And now I'm really terrified that like one of them is going to die or something. And I don't want that.
Oh, I don't want it either, but I am fully resigned to.
Yeah.
Although I think like, I think
it'd be Jody.
True. Well, I really liked seeing Callie Reese's character come into her power this episode. Like I really felt like, you know, and I think, you know, it's symbolized by her hair being down where she was just like letting loose and like, well, and not, you know, and not having to. Yeah. You know, conform to this role, her policing role and all this. I just thought she did such a good job in that scene where she was like, you know what you need to do. You do, you know, she like took control and I was like, yes, yeah, I'm here for this.
Well, because like so Jody was losing it and it's like you're also seeing how like Jody, her character genuinely cares for this kid that she's completely like abusing. Like, you know, work-wise, not right. Anything else bad, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But like completely just like,
she's hard on him. Life. She's very hard.
She's really
on him.
Hard on him, and she's and you know, but you can see that she has this like maternal thing toward him. And I really love seeing that come through. And I'm like, that is like to be able to first of all to write that in such a way that is really hitting home, and then also on top of that, for these actors to just act all of this, and you know, they're not filming all this in a linear way, you know, and it's like for them to have to be okay, we're going here, and just like. Be able to nail, like, it feels so cohesive to me. And it just, hats off. I don't know. I think
yeah,
it's so
no, I think also, you know, obviously this is the characters, not the actors, but it was, it was so telling that, like, you know, when Callie Reese's character delivers the news that, like, her sister dies, and, you know, like, Jodie Foster doesn't hug her. Meanwhile, this kid is, like, you know, spoilers again, shot his dad, and he's just, like, she just hugs and cradles him. I was like, of course the white boy.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, but it makes sense. It, like, it fits the characters. It fits all this.
It fits the characters.
Yeah, but I was just like, oh, this is so good.
Well, and so she obviously has this, like, we still don't know what happened to her husband, really, but she has this built-in animosity toward the indigenous people and her, and is so anti her stepdaughter being involved with what she's doing, which obviously I know she's doing some radical stuff that Jody doesn't necessarily, she doesn't disagree with it, but she's not, doesn't want her involved with it, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's stuff, there's underlying stuff there. And I really want to get to the bottom of what all that is, but yeah, it's like you're saying it, but it all, it's like, it makes sense. You're like, oh, of course, you know, and like this guy that she's, the kid that she's, you know, taking on here, you almost wonder if it's like, is she filling in a gap that's missing from the fact that her son died? And she's thinking like, this is who she would have wanted her son to be, or what she would have wanted him to be, you know?
Yeah.
Like if he grew up, and like, she's like filling that in. And then, you know, I don't know. It's just such a character, like there these really subtle character details that really just make it as great as it is and inform. Whereas like, I feel like we have so many shows and stuff of this kind of nature, I guess, where they don't care to really get you like in this character's like brain and like the psyche of what's going on there enough to like let you get this. I'm just so invested. I don't know. And that's why I'm like, I keep saying I want it to last forever, but I'm happy it's ending when it needs to, but I want it to last forever.
Same. Well, like similarly, you know, just even watching Callie Reese's character be the big spoon, you know, I was just like, I love this. Because of course this character would be the big spoon, you know?
Of course she would. I love their relationship. I love that guy and her. Like, I hope that they...
He's a gem. I hope things end well for her.
Yeah, and I love how he just lets her be exactly who she is and what she is at all times, however she feels, and is just kind of like, he just supports her. He really is
a paragon of like the correct masculinity.
Yeah, no, it really is. Yeah,
yeah.
I liked that she, they were talking about past relationships and that, and like she mentioned like that she'd been with a bunch of women, she'd been with a bunch of men, like talking about just all this open kind of like, I just, the characterization of it all just like, it just works so well. I don't know how else to explain it, but like, it just feels so real. Like, mm-hmm. And this is a fictional place, but I just feel like this has to be real.
Yeah. I'm sure it's like based on, you know,
there's probably countless little towns like this out there, but.
Well, I doubt it because, you know, yeah, I don't know. Well, how many people want to live in these like.
Well, that's true. But yeah, I don't know, I guess.
Well, again, it's a well, two well-built worlds this with all these, you know. All right. Well, we're watching what? What else did we watch this week?
I am keeping up with Expats, so we'll have to talk about that when you watch.
Yes, I fell behind. Then, that's on me.
No, yeah. There's lots to say about that show still, I think. So I'm like excited.
Yeah. Oh, no. We will be checking it next week.
Yeah. Especially because at that point, we'll have two episodes, right, to talk about. So that'll be exciting. And then I watched. So remember, I think I told you a while ago, or a couple few weeks back, that I watched the movie Foe that was kind of getting panned.
Yes. Yeah. Every time you say that, I assume you're talking about noodles.
Oh, like pho or pho. Like.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just like, I was about to correct you, but that's like, hilarious. What?
You're like,
okay.
Pho?
Yes.
Butchering.
Yes. F-O-E.
No, but F-O-E-F-O. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, I still have been thinking about that movie a little bit, and I got really interested in the author because I was like, okay, I think I like where his brain's at here. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I've gone and read his most famous book, which is I'm Thinking of Ending Things, which is kind of like his really like acclaimed one.
So I read that
and I loved it. And so then I watched the movie on Netflix, which I somehow didn't, it wasn't on my radar, but once I was looking into who this guy was, I learned that that was adapted to a Netflix movie, and I was like, maybe I heard of that. It was 2020. Mm-hmm. Jesse Buckley and Toni Collette was in it. There's a lot of people in it.
Yeah, but ironically, adapted by Charlie Kaufman of Orion and the Dark fame.
Oh, there you go. Oh, exactly. Yeah, how funny. There you go. Well, anyway, I liked the movie fine, but it definitely does some. It's such an interesting, hard book to adapt when you really get to the bottom of what's going on. It's a mm-hmm. weird thing, right?
Sure.
But again, I like the way this guy's brain works, but the movie it's a little overlong and everything. But I watched it for the first time, and I was like, okay, I was interested. But I think if I hadn't read the book, I would have been like, what the hell? Is this?
I think I skipped this one because it came out in 2020, and I was just like film. I was just like, I can't. Like,
yeah,
I just, it was too much for me.
Yeah,
sometimes.
A weird time for that, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
I did not have the emotional bandwidth to take on.
Yeah, but anyone who's like at all, if they haven't watched it, if they're at all interested in it, I say, yeah, give it a go. But it's horror, but it's not like. Just pop out and scare me horror.
Yeah.
It's more just like a psychological like thing. But yeah, he's got an interesting mind, that guy. But that's the main thing. I've been keeping up on like Drag Race and stuff like that, but that's the main thing that I tackled this weekend, which, you know.
Oh, okay. I watched Suncoast, which is depressing.
Was it? Okay.
Well, so it has autobiographical elements from the writer-director. Unfortunately, those autobiographical elements are her brother had brain cancer and, like, you know, went to hospice pretty young. Said hospice was where Terri Schiavo was, which is a name I had not thought about since Terri Schiavo was a thing and, like, the Right to Die cases and all that stuff. Right. And Suncoast is the name of the hospice in Florida. So, you know, it's dealing with, like, all of that, but it's also this... you know, similar kind of Lisa Frankenstein, like coming of age story about a, like, kind of, you know, a girl who's not as affluent as everyone else and just wants to fit in, but she has this, like, you know, horrible situation at home. It's also got like Laura Linney and Woody Harrelson, and Nico Parker plays the main girl, and that's Tandy Newton's daughter.
Okay.
So if you watch this, you will cry your eyeballs out. I cried, you know, because just like the source material or the material it covers is just a guarantee, like, you know, it's a tearjerker topic, so you just have to be in the mood for a cry if you're gonna watch it.
Okay, I get in those moods.
This
crossed my radar because of Laura Linney, and I remember being like, oh, I'm gonna check that out. I didn't realize it was out already. I think.
But, the subject itself, obviously, like a tearjerker, and then the actors all get capital A acting moments, and they all do like pretty good jobs with them. So I think that kind of elevates it from what could have been disastrous.
Yeah.
Like, it just because it's such a sensitive subject, right? And it's like, you could handle it in so many different ways. But I think it does a decent job. It's not, it's nothing like revolutionary.
Yeah. Is it, but, do you know if it's a directorial debut for the director and writer?
She had a show, so it might be the feature directorial debut. Yeah. Yeah, Laura Chin is her name, and she had a show called Florida Girls, she created. So yeah, no, it is her directorial debut, aside from, you know, probably bits and pieces on Florida Girls.
Yeah, different beasts, so that's good for her.
Yeah. I also watched Cat Person, which was out of Sundance last year, I think. It's a weird one. God, who... What it was on? It's on a streaming channel at this point. Hulu. It's on Hulu now, and it's like a little horror, a little not like pop out horror, more like the horror of being a woman, and like the scariness of being a woman. Yeah. It has the guy. What the hell is it? I don't watch Succession, but Cousin Greg is in it.
Oh, Nicholas Braun.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, and then Emilia Jones from Coda. And, you know, Nicholas Braun is like 6'7", and I don't know how tall Emilia Jones is, but she is clearly not tall. And so it's very funny because, like, her height, their height relative to each other, always changing. Like, you can tell she's on an Apple box or like half the time.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, but decently done. It's intentionally, well, like, uncomfortable, you know.
Let's not forget to mention Isabella Rossellini.
Hello. Oh, my God, yes. Who, unfortunately, not as much screen time, as I would like, but is indeed in it. It's about, like, a teenage, basically, like, a college girl, but not, you know, an adult who gets in a relationship with an older guy. And,
Okay.
And then, what else did I watch? I watched Plus One on Netflix, which I think I told Jackie to watch. It's cute. It's good. Yeah. You know, it's a cute rom-com. And then I watched, you will be happy about this one. I don't know why. I've never seen this in its entirety, but it just came out on Max. So I watched The Bling Ring finally.
Oh.
I know. I know. But I was literally thinking of you. I was watching it earlier today. I was
good
like,
for you.
You'll be happy that I finally.
And?
Enjoyed it. I watched like half of
did
it.
Did you really?
Ago. Yeah. I mean, it's like.
Okay. I just have to let you know. I mean, I'm not fighting hard for this film. I'm not saying it's like some like cinematic genius or anything. I like the movie. I find it very entertaining. I think it's like well done. I like the kind of mockumentary. The you know,
the style it's going for. And
I'm into it, and I think it's funny. It's just a humor that I like. And I have been just like ridiculed by so many people that just thought people think this movie is the worst thing they've ever seen. And I'm like, well, I think you need to watch more movies. It's not that bad.
I didn't like love it.
I'm not saying, you know, oh, must get an Oscar. It's just, but I was like, I had a good time.
No, yeah. You know? I vaguely knew the story, and then like that documentary came out last year.
Yeah.
And everyone was talking about that, and I was like, oh, I should watch it. This has been an ongoing attempt to watch this movie for eternity, but it hasn't been available anywhere, and I wasn't going to buy it. And
it's so weird that it wouldn't be. Like, it's like, who's, you know, paying for Bling Ring?
Right, exactly. Like, so I was
like,
just
why
like,
is this not on Netflix or whatever?
Yeah, well, so then when I saw it today, it was on Max, I was like, well, then I guess I'll be watching Bling Ring finally. Yeah. So I can watch the doc.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting moment in time. I don't think if I'd watched it earlier, I would have like appreciated it as much. But now having the knowledge of the people and having seen like the Paris Hilton docs and having like a different relationship with the people who they are robbing in it, I think is actually what like made it more watchable and enjoyable for me versus like if I'd watched it earlier, I'd been like, eh, good, they get what they deserve. I just, you know.
Yeah, but what's funny is that's actually what, because I enjoyed the doc as well, but I don't like it as much. It gives you much more information.
Right, but it's clearly like very subjective. Like,
yeah,
you know,
and what I like about this.
Gloves. Yeah.
Exactly, and this still takes a stand. It takes a stance, I think, on like what side they're on. Where you're like, you're not supposed to be rooting for these people.
Uh-huh.
And it shows them for like I laugh at so much of like, you know, what Emma Watson does, like so much of the like the stupid, because that's, it's like the way that this girl talks. Like it's like, yeah, she was so weird. And like, but some of the, she's like, I might want to be president one day for all I know, like, you know, that kind of crap. But
the her
it shows how
like the Leslie Mann part two.
Yeah,
I was just like, wow.
It just shows how vapid and just kind of like these kids are just messed up.
Yes.
And the doc to me gives them too much of a platform, because because mm-hmm. they're getting interviews and they are loving it. They're like, we are famous because of this, blah, blah, blah. And they have no remorse whatsoever right. for doing any of it. And so I actually like the movie better because I'm like, the movie at least paints them out to be losers. But
I feel like the movie also conveys they have no remorse, because it does.
Yeah. And it's, I like that it conveys because that's accurate, but it seems yeah. accurate anyway. But I just mean like the movie is not trying to make you be on their side. Whereas like, I think right. the doc kind of does this thing. You'll have to see how you feel, but I just yeah. felt like I was like, oh, I don't like watching them give their interviews and kind of like love what they did. Cause I'm like, you guys are too happy about this. Like you invaded people's homes. Like you're not good people.
Yeah. I'm only so like a few minutes into it, but like, you know, I can just tell I'm only with the girl who like didn't give interviews until now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can tell, you know, they're just being very generous in their portrayal of her already. And so I'm like,
yeah.
oh boy.
It's still entertaining and interesting. I just like,
oh, I
put a bad taste in my mouth for those reasons.
Right. But you've had like a decade to build this up versus yeah. me who has zero, overlap.
New, yeah. And at the end of the day, what they did was terrible, but they were robbing celebrities. It's not like they were killing anybody. I'm like, whatever. So it's like, again, I don't condone any of it, but it's like my anger about them being aloof about it is probably more escalated than it needs to be. what I mean? It's like, you know. It could have been
the victims were certainly victims, but like we're victims who could afford,
Could afford to be victims. It's more just to me, it's like less about what you took. And it's more just about the feeling of like, nobody wants to, I mean, the
psychological
the
trauma
home invasion,
of,
you know, yeah. it just kind of, yeah. Like yeah. the, what do you call it? Like you've been violated. Like that kind of, you know, that's the part that I'm like, but again, they're young teens, stupid, whatever. But I'm like, I would like to think that if I was a young teen doing that crap, that when I grow up, I would be like, mm-hmm. wow, that was a wrong thing to do.
Right.
Instead of like, yeah, I'm a celebrity now. I'm a hero.
Yeah. And like, remember me? Though. I'm back. Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, oh, hey.
Yeah. But I thought the movie was well done.
Harmless and fun.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, the very last thing I watched the entirety of a series called Sort of on Max.
Okay.
Max has been screaming about me to watch it. It is about a non-binary Pakistani person in Canada, in Canada, trying to figure out, you know, just like the balance of navigating their parents are not into it and you know, just trying to, like, trying to navigate queer spaces and their gender identity and all this stuff. And it's pretty good. There's three seasons. I think it's done. I think the third season must have just come out, which is why Max has been like, watch this.
Do it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting because, like, the main actor, who is also a co-creator, is, like, the character is very monotone a lot. And, you know, these incredibly dramatic things are happening. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm glad we're not overplaying this. But sometimes I'm like, wouldn't you emote more in this moment? Like,
yeah, don't under.
But yeah, it's, you know, they're 20-minute episodes. There's only 8 per season. Oh, yeah, it is done. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was just like, it's an interesting exploration.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
Yep. Well, my assumption is that Max just purchased it, and that's why it is getting recognition now. or like, you know, got distribution rights for. But yeah, it's, you know, it's nice to see so many diverse characters get the spotlight and tell their own stories.
Yeah, that's
there's close. Also like a best friend character who is hilarious. God, their name is Seven. And it's just like, yeah, they're great. They're just very watchable. Yeah, but, you know, it's a light.
Check it out.
There are some, like, heavy emotional things, but generally speaking, I would say it's on the lighter side.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
God, you did a lot this week.
I know, I really did.
Not like you were, like, unpacking an apartment or anything either, you know?
Yeah, I was just like, oh. I mean, in fairness, some of this is in the background, and some of this is because I did not move at all on Saturday.
I'm over here, like,
just, like, was in bed.
I watched this one movie. And
yeah, well, it's almost as if you've got a day job that keeps you
but it was a,
from
you know,
watching
a weekend.
Things all the time. All right. Well, thank y'all.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Matt. And that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.